cliffcentral.com.
Leadership Platform, this is the small to medium business feature. The following business conversation is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Hi, Dave from A1 Builders in Pretoria.
Yeah.
It's Dan. I found your number on the internet and I need you to build me a room, the purpose of which I cannot disclose.
What?
Fine. It's a sunroom. Can you start immediately?
It's 4 a.m.
I'm sure it's 4 a.m. somewhere, Dave, but here in SA, it's 10.
You mean USA?
There's more than one Pretoria out there. For the quickest and most efficient way to find what you're looking for, start your search with yellowpages.co.za or download the app. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.
Welcome to the small medium business feature. Just a reminder, between 12 and 1, we have our main leadership master class. And our special guest is former president Khalima Motlanthe. So he's coming into studio. It's going to be great talking to him about the past, present, future, and leadership in general. So I really look forward to that. We think that, that he's going to add huge value to this masterclass. Last week, on the show, we spoke about tax issues for SMBs. Go get that podcast. Practical thing. You know, it's all about, if you run a small business, there are tax compliance issues. And we have to be aware of that as business owners. So go and get that podcast and you will not be sorry. Today we're going to talk to Kerry Boucher about why sustainability and growth belong in the same sentence and how to go about coping with growth from a sustainability perspective. So, Kerry, welcome to Leadership Platform.
Thanks very much, Adrian. I look forward to chatting to you today.
Richard Angus, there's a massive accident on the highway, so he's on his way.
He did let me know.
Yeah, big. All of us went through that today, strange enough. And it just persists. That seems to be one accident, second accident. So anyway, he's on his way, and he prepared questions, and he's going to lead this conversation. First, we're going to put Catherine Constantinides on the line. She's got an inspirational thought for business owners. And then we'll put Richard on the line. While he's driving here, he can join the conversation, and we'll just take it from there.
Great.
Adapt, all about leadership. All right, Catherine, welcome to Leadership Platform.
Hello, great to chat to you today.
As always, and we look forward to your thought. You're like, what I like about you is you're out there. Things are really happening. You're involved. You're part of the solution. You sense the pulse of the nation, from business to social issues. So it's always nice to have you on, where you draw a link, not just in business, but business and society in general. So go for it. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. You know, I think that something, being May, being Africa Month, looking and reflecting at the leaders that we've had as a continent and as a country, I think something that really I want to sort of leave today is the fact that we need to look at visionary leadership. And your guest today as well, I think for me, there's a link here. And I think a visionary leader doesn't just look at what is now, what is the situation, but really looks at what are the possibilities, how do we create what could possibly be. And I think it's really important to look at visionary leadership in everything that we do, in small community NGOs that are on the ground, in corporates, in SMEs, as well as high-level government leadership. I think it is really important that we reflect on visionary leaders. Who have been our visionary leaders as a continent? And how do we build visionary leaders in young people? Because I think that perhaps we lack the development of visionary leadership. And I think that we really need to focus on developing people who see a bigger picture and dream a future that we can make possible together.
That's fascinating, because one could have a whole conversation. How do you actually do that? Some people are naturally visionary. Some people have that natural instinct, I guess. But I think every human being can be taught. If I look at my book, we talk about big picture thinking. And we've got to start with our children. Maybe on the previous show, we should discuss how do we get teachers and principals to awaken that sort of visionary thinking and possibility. In fact, if you go to the end of my book, I talk about impossibility thinking as opposed to possibility thinking, which is visionary. You know, that really big picture stuff.
So,
all right. No, we'll.
The other thing I just want to leave with you is the fact that, you know, you yourself said at your book launch that leadership starts from the home. And visionary leadership and the opportunity to dream, to think big, needs to start in the home. And I think that that's how we encapsulate a different mindset and a different mind skill when we are building people. And I think we need to build people who have a bigger picture idea and are able to become the visionary leaders that we need.
And parents can definitely awaken that in a child, no doubt. And teachers can do that. I mean, a brilliant teacher would actually do exactly that. They help a child see the future and the possibilities and the excitement around that. And okay, no, thank you so much, Catherine. We look forward to your next thought, and all the best.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Catherine Constantinides on the line, giving us an inspirational thought. All right, we've got Kerry Boucher talking about sustainability in business. You have an organization called Think Sustainability. So you eat, sleep, and drink sustainability.
Yes, I do.
So while we get Richard on the line, he's probably fairly close. Just give us an overview of what your business do. What's the essence of it?
Sure. So Think Sustainability, what we do is we help companies actually look at greater long-term impacts on their business and help them try and understand how to be more sustainable as a long-term organization. Because many companies have only focused on financial metrics. So we help them look at the non-financial key indicators that may impact their business in the long term and help them look at concepts like integrated reporting and how to engage better with all the stakeholders, which are multiple people that you operate your business with and influence and impact.
And why can you do this, Kerry?
Well, my background is actually I'm a chartered accountant by formal training.
No, I really have to ask you, how can you do
that? And I've started about 5 years ago realizing that there's more than just finance to business. And so I started looking at upskilling myself in this area. And basically since then have been working with a number of mining companies, specifically in Africa, and also writing a couple of articles and facilitating at some of the local business schools on this topic, just to create awareness and get people to understand it in much more detail.
All right. Richard Angus on the line. Richard, hi.
Morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Are you sustainably getting here? Are you?
I'm sustainably about to arrive at the studio in about 30 seconds. But okay. So perhaps, Kerry, just as a starting point, if you can tell us people, I mean, we talk about sustainability and people maybe in their minds have an idea of what that is. But just can you briefly help the viewers and the listeners understand a little about what elements of there are in sustainability?
Sure, Richard. So I think it is a misunderstood concept. People often think it's purely just about the environment, but it's actually looking at the interrelationship between financial indicators as well as social indicators, and those vary from employees to community issues to labor issues to the greater society in which business operates in, as well as the environmental or planetary side of the business. So ultimately, we often used to refer it, I think, to triple bottom line and what companies do just to measure these different things. But sustainability is really about integrating these three concepts into business and saying business doesn't operate in isolation. It actually has a profit impact, absolutely. And it also has an environmental and social impact. And what do we understand better about that? How do we look at measuring that and understanding how it impacts our businesses? Because you can't have one without the other.
Kerry, how far are we from, I mean, what is the general understanding of the big picture around sustainability? I often, when I work with leadership teams, they say we want sustainable growth or we want sustainable success, or there's another nice word they use. What's the synonym for it very often that you hear executives throw around in the boardroom? But sustainability comes out very strongly. And you're saying, sure, my business is not in isolation. What are the different levers that will make us sustainable? But the trick is surely as a CEO, as an executive, as a leader, to pick up on obstacles to sustainability long before it gets to the measurables. Does it make sense?
Absolutely.
So you pick that up in people's attitude. You pick it up, if you're really in tune and connected as a leader, you will pick up on those obstacles before you read it in the financials.
Absolutely.
That is the real trick.
The real trick is actually getting it integrated into the business decision-making processes. And it's not often where it sits, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What we've seen a lot of companies do is get very good at telling us what they're doing in their reporting.
Yeah.
But if you actually go into that business and ask some different questions, it's often not integrated into any decision making at all. Mm. And I guess it's that real key of embracing this as a new business philosophy and using it to create competitive advantage, because it can if it's used correctly.
So if one business, if both are super successful, but the one honestly catches the vision, small business or large, of sustainability, of those three legs you talk about?
Yes.
And I wanted you to throw it out again, just what those three legs are so that we can remember. That business, you believe, will outperform the other one.
Yes, and there's some real interesting case studies. So it's around the economic or financial factors, environmental or planetary, and then people or social. And there's actually a local company I often use in my facilitation as an example. Their name is Impathla Clothing. They're from the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. Owner-managed business, textile industry, a really difficult industry to be in South Africa.
Yeah.
And they've done some really innovative things. They're actually one of Puma's global suppliers, which is a tough international business, I think, to be associated with. But really interesting, they are carbon neutral, so they have their own solar on the roofs. They help their staff. They're implementing incentives to help things like reduce absenteeism and increase productivity. As a result, they've been operating for 10 years, have actually bought two additional businesses, and now employ almost 500 people. And it's a real success story.
So it's a small business that somehow incorporates the principles of sustainability. And they now, 500 employees, they're getting to medium.
Yeah.
I guess so. So they're a serious business to contend with in a difficult industry. All right. So welcome in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, everybody. That was a mad rush on the highway there. So, Kerry, I mean, sustainability, and I mean, we talk in the show a lot about growth in businesses and small businesses. How do you connect sustainability and growth? I mean, you've just cited a good example. What are the key things that you kind of go and say, well, these are the key elements of sustainability that you've seen out there that generates growth in an organization?
Well, I think there are a lot of obviously examples in big corporates that can be applicable in small businesses as well. And that's around things like it can help cost reduction, mm-hmm. because it helps you think about maybe different materials, different ways of doing business. It actually helps on issues like it's proven now on staff retention and actually acquiring new people and acquiring the right skill and talent.
And I think that's an important thing, because we've talked about how a business evolves, and we've talked about the different types of people you need at different times in your business's growth, and making sure that you retain the right people and you don't lose that key resource right at that critical moment in your growth path is fundamental.
Yes. And so what we're seeing is millennials and younger generations actually look at these factors when considering working for an organization. So if you can prove that you care about these factors and that they're really integrated into your business, you'll be able to attract different talent. We're also seeing investors and providers of capital starting to look at how sustainable are you as an organization. And although it might not yet be mainstream, for SMEs, it's probably going to become more important as they move forward and look to expand their businesses, that providers of capital may ask questions like, well, what are you doing about these other factors in your business? And another big impact for small businesses, especially ones who hope to expand and grow, is many of them will deal with large corporates. And large corporates are going to have to look at things like supply chain audits and compliance of those smaller businesses. And if you're unable to deliver that, it could be quite problematic.
Yeah. So effectively, your ability to, let's call it, access certain markets could actually get the tick or the cross on whether you're actually going to get in there and actually be able to even start off as a supplier to them.
Absolutely. And it may definitely impact your ability to service them long term if you don't have a plan in place to address some of these risk issues.
Okay. That's an interesting perspective. Now, I mean, I guess if you're thinking with the triple bottom line in mind, and you running your business with good, let's call it, social conscience per se, do you still think that companies out there that are ticking all these boxes, do they still run into growth problems? Because, I mean, you know, we all want to grow our businesses. We all want to have success. if you tick the triple bottom line and really focus on that as a, let's call it a value system of doing business, do you still get into, or do you still find that there are businesses out there that although they tick the sustainability elements, they still have hassles and still have challenges as a growing business? I guess the question is, does being focused on sustainability help you tremendously, a little, a lot? Mm. You know, does it get rid of the pains and the sleepless nights for the entrepreneur, or do you know, where does it leave you as an entrepreneur?
I think it's a difficulty because it's going to help you solve certain problems and maybe help you manage risks, but it's not going to stop that from happening in the future.
So your example around staff retention, it would help in that space, but it's not necessarily going to keep that client who's unhappy with your service model, for example.
Absolutely.
That's a model issue.
Yeah.
Not a,
and I think it's a lot about also the fact it's not about just taking these three factors and applying them and sort of sticky taping them on top of how you do business.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about thinking about how to do business differently. And people talk about the next industrial revolution and what this is going to create is a completely, probably different business model in the future of how people will interact.
Mm.
It also is something that does require collaboration. So it might be quite important for small business owners to actually see that it's not just about competing for resources now. It's about even collaborating with larger companies to get inputs, and that might help them manage some risks for growth, but it's not going to take, I don't think, all the pain away because it's not that magic sort of box that's going to solve everything. But it would definitely help, I think, by thinking of these things, prepare you better as a business to perhaps respond to some of the risks that may come in the future.
And if I listen to what you're suggesting, it sounds like there might also be business opportunities that one could take in the space around sustainable elements of an industry, et cetera, where you're going to do something differently and perhaps everybody else is just the traditional players are ticking the boxes and you have a different business model incorporating the principles of sustainability and partnership that allows you to actually, you know, the little principle of the gap between the big rocks of the big players, where you can actually carve out a very nice niche for yourself as a small business to actually deliver those services in a sustainable way that actually gets you ahead on the growth path.
Absolutely. Okay. So I think there's definitely opportunity in South Africa, and definitely as, you know, the world looks to Africa for future growth, it's definitely going to be something that plays a role in the future.
Okay. So, you know, in your experience, what are some of the key challenges faced by organizations today in the sphere of sustainability? I mean, you've got experience with many different types of entities out there. You've seen and experienced a number of them. What are the key kind of, let's call them one or two broad categories or few categories, and then let's talk about some of those specifics, maybe some examples without naming and shaming.
Okay. I think a part of the challenge is awareness, especially I think in the small, medium business space. You know, small and medium business owners have lots of compliance issues, things that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. This is just another layer. Sometimes it's awareness. So are you aware that this is something your business might have to look at in the future? I think the second thing is it's great to do specific activities, but it's really about integrating this into how you make decisions. And
okay,
I think
so
that's where...
So integrated thinking is critical here, okay?
And I think a lot of businesses still focus, because the language of business is still very much financial, around financial indicators only for success. And that might mean you restrict yourself to opening yourself up to new opportunities. And then I guess the third thing is really around being able to tell people what you do that makes you different.
Okay.
So it's the actual, how do you speak to your stakeholders? You know, traditionally we've seen that we have financial reports for our shareholders, but this is a much broader process to actually go through.
Okay, so I'm hearing there a lot of planning and a lot more thinking as opposed to just roll with the punches of traditional business. You know, a normal traditional business model needs to almost be adapted to think outside of the box, perhaps in areas that perhaps haven't been a focus area. Can you give us some examples of some of the things that you've seen done well in terms of some of the challenges? I mean, you cited one example already this morning.
Yes.
Are there some others that you could share with us?
I think, you know, having worked with different industries, so in the financial services industry, we are seeing that some of the banks, especially when they do business deals, are starting to look at things like responsibly investing. So is your business a green business? You know.
Well, interestingly enough, at one of our clients the other day, there's a transaction that's in place with one of the big four banks. And I was asked by the relationship person, I was sent a environmental checklist to explain to them what was going on in this particular transaction. And they asked questions like, what is the impact on the environment? Does it affect this? Does it? And you know, it was a page of questions that I had to answer with the client about sustainability issues. Fundamentally, it had nothing to do with the bankability of the transaction, but everything to do about sustainability.
And absolutely, and if you're not prepared for that, how do you deal with it when that question comes at you, if you've never given it much thought?
Well, I must admit, when it arrived, the person from the bank representative said, I'm sending you our environmental checklist. And I was quite surprised. And he copied, you know, other people in the client. And this thing arrived, and I opened it, and I looked at this, and I thought, okay, I want to see what the client's reaction is going to be on this one, because they'd never seen this before. Yes. And it was quite interesting that we had to work through this. And, you know, unfortunately, in that case, it was a financing type of transaction and it wasn't that complex. So a lot of it was not applicable. But it was interesting that the conversation was in play and people were asking the questions. You know, I guess it's not always about the answer you get necessarily, but if you ask the question enough times, people know that it's something important to focus on.
Absolutely. So that's definitely one area. I think another area that we're seeing a lot of progress in is the reporting side, and that's mainly from large businesses. But they are having impacts on things like supply chain. So if you are doing business with a large corporate, it's quite likely you're going to get some questions asked of you about, you know, how fair are your labor practices in your business?
Yeah, exactly.
What is the association through reputational risk? And those are sometimes things small businesses aren't focused on because they're so busy dealing with the day-to-day operational things.
Yeah, the daily grind that gets away or ahead of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think these are some of the trends that are coming, as well as I think consumers are more aware of what's good or bad for the environment, for example, or for society, and are starting to put pressure on companies, you know, that they will actually start asking questions about your product or service. And you better be prepared to have that discussion and inform them of what you want them to understand about what you're doing.
Yeah. Now, how does one go about measuring and monitoring sustainability? Everybody immediately goes to the financial statements for the profit line, but how do you measure sustainability? What's out there for us?
Well, I think you can take different approaches. I think the biggest challenge has been that there's no one standard fits all, and we can just very much like our financial systems have evolved over time. This is going through a bit of an evolution. So we are starting to see some international frameworks come out that give some guidance. For a small business, I think it's really about understanding what are the non-financial things that impact, or what are the indicators you should be measuring. And that will depend on your industry, your stakeholder groups, but having conversations with them to actually find out what's important for them. And then finding out what things you could actually base measurement on to say if you're doing better or not. And I think what most people need to understand, sustainability reporting is ultimately about a business's journey to allow change to happen. So you want to see progression in the trends. So it's not about having a right or a wrong answer often.
Okay.
And it will be very different for different industries.
Okay.
The Global Reporting Initiative is a very well-known body that actually deal with how to go about implementing some form of sustainability indicators. And they actually have a guide for small businesses that you can download off their website for free.
Okay.
And it just gives you a brief outline and some guidance on how to get going. Because I think the frustration for a lot of small businesses is, where do I start?
Okay, now where would business owners go and find that guide, that small business guide?
So the Global Reporting Initiative, they have a website called, it's the globalreporting.org is their website. And they'll actually then be able to find it on there, and it's actually an SME guide.
An SME guide for small businesses
on how could you go about looking at sustainability and actually developing it further from there.
Okay. So I think that what's nice is you've got a nice framework for small businesses to potentially work from. And as you say, the key important thing here as we wrap up is it's not about what the number is, but it's what are the critical elements or what are the critical indicators that you need to be thinking about and how you're progressing on that journey. So I guess the message is sustainability is more about the journey rather than a defined destination. I think often we think of profitability as it's just about the number. In sustainability, it's actually more about the journey.
Absolutely. And it's really about what are you doing as a business to remain relevant for the next 15 years. It's a very different perspective to look at your business and a lens to look at and measure your business through.
Okay, so yeah. Louis, as we wrap up, have you got any thoughts on the world of sustainability and its impact on leadership?
Kerry, this is an excellent subject. Thanks, Richard. The question I have, really a statement. We have a passion for essences in leadership. In other words, to sift through and find, oh, that's the essence. And we discuss various ones. The one I like, we say all good leadership have a tremendous sense of partnering. Now, partnering doesn't mean you just have a tangible business partner, but the ability to, for instance, partner with compliance regulations, the ability to partner with societal requirements and pressures, and for the needs of society around you. And what you're really saying, you're giving a tangible substance to that ability to partner. And if you don't learn to partner in life, you're in deep trouble. The day of the self-absorbed entrepreneur is gone.
Yeah, I think that's such a relevant comment, the self-absorbed entrepreneur. Sure.
Thank you so much, Richard. Richard, Angus, and Kerry Boucher. That was a very fascinating conversation. So you can get that podcast afterwards, later today. It'll be available, and we'll certainly spread the word to all entrepreneurs and small business owners. This conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
Ivan Cleaners, Worcester. Conrad speaking.
Hi, Conrad. This is Chad from the Glen Gables Hotel in Worcester. We're looking for a new cleaning service. I found your number on the internet. Would you be interested?
Yeah, Flip, great. Where are your offices?
Well, on the corner of Alaho and Aldo, across from the Beef Cack and Tag Shack.
Cack and what?
There's more than one Worcester out there. Reach a more relevant audience by advertising with the Yellow Pages. Visit yellowpages.co.za and get listed online with South Africa's most trusted business directory. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.